This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Okay, so think about this for a second. When was the last time you really needed an answer to something complicated?
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe you were looking for some specific software for work or trying to figure out why your car was making that weird noise. Right. How'd you do it? Did you type in a few words? Get that list of 10 blue links, click the first one, and then realize it's total garbage.
Oh, man. You're describing tab fatigue, right? That defined the internet for, what, 20 years?
It's exhausting just thinking about it.
Hearing you say it out loud, it sounds like using a rotary phone. It's so inefficient.
It really is. And the reason bringing this up is that whole behavior, that sort of hunting and gathering for information, it's basically dead.
Or it's on life support at the very least.
Yeah, exactly. So today we're doing a deep dive into what search really looks like in 2026. We're basing this on a piece by Joe Medico from Double Dome Digital Marketing.
The title is SEO is Evolving. Why Getting Found on Google Looks Different This Year.
And different is, I mean, that's putting it very mildly.
Medico is pretty much writing the obituary for the 10 blue links era.
He is, but he's also writing the birth announcement for something totally new. And that's what we really need to unpack. Because if you're running a business, if you're trying to get noticed online, the old playbook isn't just outdated.
It's actually dangerous.
It's dangerous. The whole thesis here is that the goal isn't to rank number one on a list anymore. The goal is to become the preferred answer.
But that phrase, preferred answer, is doing a lot of heavy lifting. It signals a huge shift from, you know, a directory-based web where Google just points you to a library, to an answer-based web where an AI like Gemini or ChatGPT basically reads the entire library for you and just tells you what you need to know.
Which, as a user, I love. I mean, who doesn't want to just get the answer? But if I'm a business that needs people to, you know, visit my website to buy my stuff, this sounds like an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
If the AI gives the answer, nobody clicks. If nobody clicks, nobody buys. Are we looking at the apocalypse of website traffic?
Well, we're looking at the apocalypse of useless website traffic.
Right.
And that's a distinction Medico makes that is just so critical.
Okay.
But to understand why it's not a total disaster, we have to look at the mechanism, at what actually replaced the blue links.
You're talking about generative AI.
Right. In the old days, and by old days, I mean like 2023.
Right. Ancient history.
Ancient history. SEO was a game of king of the hill.
Yeah.
You had a keyword, let's say best enterprise CRM. You'd optimize your page, you'd get backlinks, and you fought to be the top link.
Number one gets the click. Number five gets the crumbs.
And if you were on page two, you were in the witness protection program.
Yeah, you didn't exist.
Nobody ever saw you. But now, in 2026, you ask that same question to an AI agent, and it doesn't give you a list. It synthesizes.
It synthesizes.
Yeah. It scans the top results. It reads the reviews. It checks the pricing pages. And then it generates a single paragraph that says something like, for your needs, Salesforce is best for scale, but HubSpot is better for ease of use.
So the search result is just gone. It's been replaced with a recommendation.
Precisely. And that leads to the stat that scares everyone. Zero-click interactions are just skyrocketing.
Mm-hmm.
People get what they need right there in the chat window, and they never even visit the source website.
Okay, I have to push back here. Medico argues this is an opportunity. But how does zero-click put money in the bank? I can't pay my employees with, you know, brand awareness from a chatbot that didn't even send me a user.
That is the million-dollar question. And Medico's argument is pretty subtle. He's saying that the traffic you're losing, those people who get the answer and just leave, they were never going to buy from you anyway.
So they were just tire kickers.
They were info grazers. Think about it. If someone asks how to reset my router and you give them this huge 2,000-word blog post, they find that one little piece of info they need and they leave.
You gain nothing.
You gain nothing but server costs. The AI taking that traffic away actually cleans up your data.
Okay, I can see that. But what about the actual buyer?
That's the other side of the coin. When the AI recommends a brand, when you become that preferred answer, the user who does click through is incredibly high intent.
They're not just browsing.
No.
Ah.
They've been told by their smart assistant that you are the solution.
So we're trading volume for a much higher conversion rate.
We're moving from a billboard model, waving at every car that drives by, to a referral model.
That makes sense.
I mean, in the real world, would you rather have 1,000 people just look in your shop window or have one person walk in because their trusted accountant told them this is the only place you should go?
I'd take the referral every single time. But for that to work, the AI has to be that trusted accountant.
Yes.
And to get that referral, the AI has to know who I am and it has to trust me. Which brings us to the most technical part of this whole thing, entities.
The shift from keywords to entities.
Okay, but isn't that just semantics? What's the real difference between ranking for a keyword and being an entity?
It's the difference between a string of letters and a concept.
Mm-hmm.
In the old SEO world, if I wanted to rank for red running shoes, I just had to have the words red running shoes on my page a bunch of times.
Right. Maybe in bold.
Yeah, in bold in the header. The search engine was just matching patterns. It was a matching game.
Okay.
But an AI doesn't just match patterns. It builds a model of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It understands that Nike is an entity. It's a node in this massive knowledge graph.
A node.
Yeah. So the AI knows Nike is a corporation. It's located in Oregon. It was founded by Phil Knight. It's associated with Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
It knows it sells apparel. It has the stock price. It knows the general sentiment around the brand.
So it understands the identity of the thing, not just the name.
Exactly. And that is where so many businesses are failing right now. They are still trying to optimize for keywords when they haven't even established themselves as an entity in the AI's mind.
So how does a business actually do that? You can't just like fill out a form for ChatGPT that says, hey, I'm an entity now.
No, you build it through what Medico calls your digital footprint. And this is where the details really matter. The AI is constantly cross-referencing data. It looks at your website, of course.
Sure.
But it also looks at your LinkedIn profile.
Yeah.
It checks Crunchbase. It looks for mentions of your brand in industry journals. It scans Reddit for sentiment. It even checks if your name, address, and phone number are consistent everywhere.
It's doing a background check.
It's doing a continuous 24/7 background check.
Yeah.
And if you have a great website, but you don't exist anywhere else online, the AI flags that. It thinks, this looks like a shell company, or this looks like a scam.
So that AI slump the article talks about, that drop in traffic, that's basically the AI deciding you aren't real enough to recommend.
That is a huge part of it. The AI is programmed to be helpful, but also safe. It's risk averse. If it recommends a plumber who turns out to be a fake, or a software that's a virus, that's a major error. So to avoid that, it only recommends entities with a strong, verifiable authority signal.
You know, that feels like it raises the barrier to entry by a lot.
It does.
Back in 2015, two people in a garage could spin up a WordPress site and maybe outrank a huge corporation if they were just clever with keywords. Now it sounds like you need a whole PR department just to get the AI to notice you.
You don't need a PR department necessarily, but you do need consistency. You need to be a known quantity. It's actually bringing us back to old school business values.
Reputation is currency.
Reputation is currency.
Oh,
you can't growth hack a reputation.
That's probably a healthy correction for the internet, to be honest. But let's say I've done all that. I'm an entity. The AI knows I exist. How do I get it to actually use my content? The source brings up this idea of information game.
This is my favorite concept in the whole report because it just kills lazy marketing.
Information game sounds like something out of a spy movie.
We have secured the information game. It does. But in information theory, it basically means how much new knowledge does this piece of content provide compared to what is already known?
So it's not just about regurgitating what's on Wikipedia.
Exactly. I mean, think about how these LLMs are trained. They've read the entire internet. They've read the Ultimate Guide to B2B Sales about 10,000 times. They know the generic tips. They know, listen to your customer.
So if I write another blog post titled Five Tips for Better Sales, and I list the same five tips everyone else does,
the information gain is zero. The AI reads it and just says, I already have this. This adds nothing. And it ignores it. It filters it out as fluff.
That is brutal. It's an automated BS detector.
It is. And it's why Medico argues that fluff gets ignored. To get the AI's attention, you have to provide something it doesn't already have.
Okay, give me a concrete example. If I'm that B2B software company and I can't rate five tips, what do I write?
You write, how we reduced churn by 15% using this specific API integration. You share your proprietary data.
Oh, I see.
You conduct a survey of your own users and you publish the results. You interview your engineers about a really specific technical problem they solved.
You have to become the primary source.
Yes. I like the analogy of the witness versus the gossip. The internet is full of gossip people just repeating what they heard somewhere else. The AI is tired of gossip It wants the witness.
He wants the person who is actually there.
The person who was there, who has the data, who saw the event.
So the big takeaway for anyone listening is, if you can Google your article topic and you find all the same points on the first page of results, just don't publish that article.
Exactly. Don't add to the noise. If you want entity authority, you have to actually be an authority. Contribute to the library of human knowledge. Don't just photocopy pages from it.
This all seems great in theory. Be an expert. Build a footprint. But I'm imagining the listener who has to report to their boss, or the business owner staring at a P&L statement. We used to have such clean metrics.
Yeah, the vanity metrics era.
We got 10,000 clicks. Our cost per click was $2. I mean, they were comforting. You could put them on a nice, clean chart.
They were.
Now we're telling them, hey, traffic is down. Nobody is clicking. But trust me, our share of voice with the robot is super high. How do you sell that? How do you measure success inside this black box?
This is the hardest part of the transition. The source explicitly compares the old metrics to the new metrics, and it takes a complete mindset shift in the boardroom.
Let's run through that. Old metric, keyword rankings. We're number one for best CRM.
The new metric is AI recommendation share. And this is way harder to track. You have to use tools that sample AI responses to figure out, you know, when someone asks ChatGPT for a CRM, how often do we come up? 10% of the time, 50%. That's your new market share.
That sounds incredibly fuzzy.
It is fuzzy. It's more like tracking brand sentiment than clicks. But look at the next one. Old goal, clicks to website. New goal, lead quality and revenue.
This goes back to the tire kicker argument.
Right. If you walk into your CEO's office and say, hey, traffic is down 40%, but our qualified leads are up 20% and revenue is steady, you're not going to get fired.
You're going to get a raise.
You're going to get a raise because you stopped paying to acquire people who are never going to buy anything. But you have to have the courage to let that traffic number drop.
That's the black box leadership Medico talks about.
Exactly. He advises leaders to stop asking, what did the latest Google Core update do to us? And start asking, is our digital presence actually generating business?
There's another one here I thought was interesting. The shift from backlink quantity to brand entity authority.
Yeah, it used to be just a numbers game. Get 100 links from anywhere. Now one mention in a high authority publication like the New York Times or a major industry journal is worth more than 1,000 low quality links.
Why is that?
Because that one good mention teaches the AI. This entity is trusted by other trusted entities.
It's networking. It's digital networking.
It really is.
I want to touch on one more practical thing here. The article says, because that high intent traffic is so rare, the path has to be frictionless.
Oh, this is critical. If the AI does send you one of those rare high intent users, you absolutely cannot fumble the ball.
Right.
In 2023, you could get away with a slow website or a confusing checkout because you had so much volume.
Sure.
In 2026, if that user lands on your page and can't find the price or the demo button is broken, they're gone. Instantly. And the AI learns from that bounce.
Wait, the AI learns from the bounce?
Absolutely. If the AI recommends you and the user comes back 10 seconds later and says, that wasn't helpful, the AI downgrades your authority. It thinks, I gave bad advice.
So conversion rate optimization isn't just about sales anymore. It's actually about protecting your SEO.
Yes. Your user experience is now a part of your entity authority. If your site is annoying to use, you are less likely to be recommended.
That puts a ton of pressure on the website to be perfect.
It puts pressure on the business to be functional.
Yeah.
Which, again, shouldn't be a radical concept.
Fair enough. So let's zoom out. We've established the list of links is dying. Information gain, being an original source, is the only way to get noticed, and you have to be a verifiable entity.
That's the summary in a nutshell.
But I can't shake this feeling that we're moving toward a really strange kind of economy.
Go for it.
In the old 10 Blue Links world, there was room for the runner-up, you know? You could be the third best pizza place in town and still get found on Yelp or Google Maps. You could be a scrappy startup and get some clicks from page two.
True. It's a long tail.
But if the AI model is designed to give the preferred answer singular, doesn't that create a winner-take-all dynamic? If ChatGPT decides brand A is the best solution, does brand B just starve?
This is the existential risk of the AI era. We are potentially moving toward an Oracle economy. If the Oracle says buy Nike and 90% of people listen, then the other brands just become invisible.
It's like the shelf space in a supermarket, but the shelf can only hold one product.
Exactly. And this raises huge questions about innovation. If you're a new company, how do you break into that preferred answer slot? The big guys have all the data, the history, the reviews, that entity authority. It might become incredibly difficult to dethrone the leaders.
So the second best answer might as well be the wrong answer.
In the eyes of a user who just wants the best thing right now.
Mm.
Yeah, I think so.
That suggests that this whole battle for entity authority isn't just a marketing tactic. It's a land grab. It's a fight for survival.
I think that's completely accurate. The brands that establish themselves as the definitive source of truth in their field right now, while these AIs are still forming their opinions, they're going to have a massive moat.
Yeah.
Catching up later might be impossible.
That is. That's heavy. But it also clarifies the mission. If you're listening to this and you're running a business, you can't be passive. You can't just hope the algorithm picks you.
No. You have to go out and prove you're the primary source. You have to make yourself undeniable.
Make yourself undeniable. I like that. So stop counting clicks. Start creating actual knowledge. And for the love of God, check your LinkedIn profile.
Please update your profile.
That's all the time we have for this deep dive. It's a brave new world out there. Good luck becoming an entity.
See you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.